Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll be speaking to you today on releasing the supernatural, and I'll be focusing today on praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 8. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You can't talk about the Holy Ghost and not see the phanerosis of Him. The Bible talks about the manifestation of the Spirit. The word manifestation there is the word phanerosis. It means a visible appearance of the Holy Ghost. Amen to Jesus. And every time He is given credence, every time He is given opportunity to manifest Himself, He manifests Himself. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 2 and verse 8. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, how be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Verse 18, I thank my God, Paul the apostle speaking, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. I speak with tongues more than all of you. I was so concerned. I needed to know how comes this man called Peter had the kind of revelation that Paul had. You hear Peter even talking about Paul. He said, our brother Paul, how that God had given him abundance of revelation. That's Peter confessing about the case of Paul. You see, this kingdom is not about who's been here before the other person. This kingdom has nothing to do with how long have you been in the kingdom. It's about being able to access the innermost secrets of the Almighty God. And the playing field is open to all. The realms of revelation is open to everybody. I doubt to be 60 years old in ministry before I get to know the things that 60 years old in ministry. Before I get to know the things that people who are 60 years old in ministry get to understand. I said there's a spiritual man and the inspiration of the Almighty God. Give him understanding. He said, I've come to realize that old men are not always wise. Am I talking to somebody? I have understanding more than the ancients because my testimonies are my meditation. You can begin to speak beyond the realms of the understanding of the ancients by connecting yourself to the realm of the supernatural. You can begin to speak with wisdom that will dazzle your equals because you are connected to the realm of the supernatural. You can begin to get things done in your office beyond even the level of the competence of your associates who were taught in the same day with you because you're connected to the supernatural. You can begin to produce things in the natural that human minds have not been able to tap into because you're connected to the supernatural. Oh God, help me here tonight. Verse 20 of Jude. Turn your Bibles there if you can with me. Jude verse 20. For ye beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying how? In the Holy Ghost. Dearly beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, not playing in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be sharing with you five things today that praying in the Holy Spirit will do for you. There are so many things, but I will share five of them with you today. And hope that by the mercies of the law of the Lord, as you begin to put them into practice, you begin to see a completely different turnaround in your life like you've never seen before. Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 in verse 1 down. I don't have all the time to read that. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in the upper room. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind and filled the room where they were all seated. And there sat upon them cloven tongues as of fire. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. He gives utterance. He doesn't speak for you. You've got to learn to speak when He gives you utterance. Am I talking to somebody here? They began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. He gave them utterance, but they had to speak with tongues. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? He gives you the prayer language, but you've got to speak the language. I know Yoruba, but I've got to speak Yoruba if you've got to hear Yoruba. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? So there is a need for you to learn to open your mouth and speak. That was why David made a statement. He said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it up. Am I talking to somebody here? The time has come for you to learn to just open your mouth and see how that the mongalias of God, the powerful languages of the Almighty God will begin to come forth from your lips. I know you know Yoruba, you know Hausa, you know Igbo, you know your language, but there is something higher than the language that you know. We call it the language of angels and the language of God. Am I talking to somebody here? Whereby you begin to speak, as you begin to speak in the language of angels, you begin to commune with angels. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? And you begin to release them into assignments that are beyond human comprehension. Do you know that you can begin to speak in such a way that you and God enter into intimacy beyond human comprehension? The Bible says there is a language that is of God and there is a language that is of angels. Am I talking to somebody here? If all that you speak is English, I'm sorry for you. If all that you speak is a language that your parents taught you, I'm sorry for you. There is a language that is higher than all of this language. The Bible said this one comes from above, and that which comes from above, the Bible says, above. Help me, Jesus. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together, just like we're all gathered here. 500 were given the invitation. Only 120 came. 380 refused to make it to the upper room. It always happens like that. Whenever revival is about to start in a city, whenever the power of God is about to break forth in a place, go through historical revivals, whether it's the Hebrides revival, whether it's the Indonesian revival, whether it's the W.J. Samuels revival, Hasusa revival, wherever revival has always broken forth, whether it's in the Hebrides with Peggy and Maggie, blind lady and lame lady, who came together. One said, you can see but you can't walk. I can see but I can walk. I can give you my legs while you give me your eyes. Can we get down to the basement and begin to pray? And let's begin to pray until God will touch William Campbell, where William Campbell is, and persuade him to come over to our city in Hebrides, where there's so much corruption, prostitution, immorality. Nobody fears God anymore. Even our pastors have gone into drinking. Our deacons are involved with women, all manner of things. Peggy and Maggie, invalid human beings, so to say, incapacitated human beings. They said, well, we may not have eyes to see in the natural, but we can see into the realm of the supernatural. The other one said, I may not have legs to walk, but I know how to walk in the spirit. And so they came together, hid in the basement of a house, and these women were gathered from morning till evening and began to pray like nothing else. And as they began to pray, God touched the heart of W. Campbell, where he was, and told him, you must go to Hebrides. He said, Lord, I've heard about Hebrides and I hate the place. The people are ungodly. They are like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God appeared to him in the night. He said, behold, two women pray. You cannot deny them that particular visitation. And the man moved on to the Hebrides. He got there to preach. And then they told him about Peggy and Maggie, who were praying in the basement. When he entered where they were praying, he said, something came upon me. And then when he went up to preach, he preached with the anointing that jumped from their praying place upon his life. And revival began in the Hebrides. Oh God, am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? And that's how the turnaround began. Clubs began to close down. Beer palace began to close down. Ladies in the brothel began to rush into the church. Pastors began to give their lives to Christ. Deacons began to get their way back to the Almighty God. All because there's a woman who can see in the natural, but she knows how to take hold on the horns of the altar. There is a woman who can walk in the natural, but she knows how to walk in the realm of the spirit until she pulls heaven to the earth. Can somebody touch her neighbor and say, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. You may not know, but Abuja has now become a place whereby there's massive compromise like never before. We are seeing compromise at the highest level. We are seeing immorality in the house of God like no lips can utter. We need revival in this city. We need the visitation of God in this city. We need the mighty move of God in this city. We are living in the time out of God whereby we are now a halting people. Whether it is God, we do not know whether to serve him. Whether it is Baal, we are in a situation whereby not us in those churches out there, but sometimes even in our churches here, you have those who come to church to worship God on Sunday morning, and on Saturday they are somewhere else visiting all manner of places. If the Lord be God, serve him. If it is Baal, it's time to serve God. If it is Baal, it's time to serve Baal. Can somebody touch your neighbor and say, let us pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says there was a gathering in the upper room. And the Bible says that, you know, I like something, sir. When it is the spectacular, watching a human being rise up to heaven, 500 will gather. But when it is time to get down on bended knees to pray, only 120 will come. How that the church sometimes is buffeted in gross compromise. We like entertainment, not that spiritainment. But you see, you must come to realize that if you must stand tall, you must learn to bow low. It is from kneeling down that we triumph, like a friend will always say. The Bible said they were gathered together in an upper room, just like we're all gathered here tonight. The Bible says suddenly, somebody say suddenly. I like that. Somebody say suddenly. Yeah, the Bible says suddenly there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind and filled the room where they were all gathered together. The Bible said there sat upon them like cloven tongues of fire. It sat upon them. The Holy Ghost seats on people. The Bible said cloven tongues of fire sat upon them. And the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They were filled. And as a result of being filled, they began to speak. Hey, I was concerned. I said, Lord, they were filled, but was that enough for them to speak with other tongues? What happened in between being filled and beginning to speak? And the Lord said to me, son, don't you understand what I said in John chapter 7, verse 37? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He said, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, son, do you know what happened? They were filled, and then they began to have an overflow. He said, what you hear them speaking was the overflow of what they were filled with. Can I come back again? They were filled, and then they began to speak with other tongues. And the Lord said, the tongues you heard them speaking was the overflow of what they were filled with. We heard them speaking with other tongues. Some were speaking Cappadocia. Some were speaking Galileans. They were speaking Mesopotamian language. Languages they've never learned. You know what it means for us to begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost, so the overflowing. To the point whereby Bronny, who is an average Yoruba person, begins to pray in tongues. And then brother Ishaku Laviapu is from Plateau and a Lantern man, begins to hear me praising God in Lantern. And then Ishaku, who is, oh God, come on, we need to see the beauty of the apostolic church again. Do you know what it means for one of our sister here? You know, Grace is from Benue. Am I correct, pastor? Do you know what it means for a Benue woman who does not understand Igbo? For her to open her mouth because she's filled. And now there's an overflow. And as she begins to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she don't want to say, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, and when they want to know, magnify God. They said, we heard them magnifying God, but in our language. And the Bible says that, man of God, this is not because of one pastor, the church grew. The Bible says, when we heard that, the news spread abroad. The only thing that will grow the church like nothing else is strategy is wonderful. All the planning, razzmatazz, painting the place, okay. The Bible in fact says all of us are his handmaids and his hand servants. The time has come for us to realize that if the church must break to the next dimension, everybody must get back to the apostolic order. We must begin to pray like never before. Every opportunity we have should be a time to pray. Pray in your house. Pray in the car. Pray on the road. When shall we get to the point whereby, as I'm walking on the road, I'm doing some shubambo kototiandos? When shall we get to the point whereby I'm in the office, man of God, and I just say, excuse me for 5 minutes, and I rush to the bathroom, and I enter the toilet, not because I want to ease myself, but because I want to recharge myself. Building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, 5 minutes in tongues, 5 minutes in the Holy Ghost, revival will break out like never before. Touch your neighbor, say, it's time to pray. They hear you, somebody say, it's time to pray. Oh God. And so, man of God, I need to be quick about this. The Bible said they were gathered together in the Let's take it gently. I think we'll get there. We're together. Hallelujah. They were gathered together in the upper room. And the Bible said when they began to pray, it came with cloven tongues of fire upon them, sound of mighty rushing wind. Sat upon them, they were filled and began to speak with tongues. And the Bible said those who were around them began to hear what they were saying. Man of God, there's something the church has lost. We have lost the capacity of making people to hear us. You know, the church has entered into quiet time. But the apostolic church moved out of quiet time and entered into noisy time. This is the time whereby we pray, nobody knows we're praying. We sing, nobody knows we're singing. We do things, nobody knows we're Christians at all. But the apostolic church, if they pray, you knew they pray. The Bible said it was so serious that they prayed in a place, and the Bible said the foundation of the place was shaken. Oh God, give us a shaken revival. Oh God, send your power once again. Oh Lord, we ask for revival. We ask for the days, oh God, when our face will be completely immersed and submerged, oh God, in your very, very presence. Oh Lord, take us back to Peniel, Heavenly Father. Take us to the place of prayer where we shall see face to face with you. Take us to the place of confidence in your very presence, Almighty God. Take us to the place of assurance where we know that there is one thing that works for us, and it is God at work in us. Heavenly Father, bring revival like we've never seen before. Shake the earth, shake our church. Shake our deaconship, shake the pastor, send your wind, shake the pillars of the city. Can somebody say a big amen in the house of God? A praying man of God, and hear a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Why won't witches sit in the church? Why won't wizards come to church? Why won't people in the fraternities come join the church and even join leadership in the church? There's no sound. And you know, there's something about sound. Sound always causes vibrations. There's something about fire. It burns. Lord, send fire. We're not asking for fire in another church. Lord, send fire right here in our church. Until some of our young girls who think they are safe and secured in the house of God, thinking that they can continue in sin and grace will abound, until, Lord, they hit the altar asking for mercy. Until when some of our young men who are going in and out of church, going for talisman and coming for anointing service, Lord, until they drop their rings on the altar. We need an earth shaking revival. But if revival must ever happen, God is looking for people who will be gatekeepers. God is looking for men and women who will open the door for God to move through. God is looking for people who will join their hands together and pray and say, no, we thank God for what God is doing in our church, but God can do more. The Bible said they gathered together in the upper room praying together. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, including the women, plus Jesus' mother. There's one thing I would love to continue to happen in my life is to see my mother continue in prayer until Christ be totally formed in me. Bible said there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Feel the place. The Holy Spirit can feel this place at one time. And touch you and be touching Dick and Johnson at the same time. Touching Binga at the same time. Be touching Kelvin at the same time. Bible said they began to pray with tongues. They began to pray with other tongues. And after that, Paul the apostle came, and Paul said, there is a need for you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost like never before. Hallelujah. So you're not just filled with the Holy Ghost to speak with tongues on the first day, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. The tongues is one of your greatest weapons in the Christian journey. Tongues is one of your greatest weapons in your Christian journey. Five reasons why you must pray. You must pray in tongues. Number one, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, can we take a look at that very well? Five reasons why we must pray in tongues. If you're there with me, say amen. For he that speaketh in I need the Amplified Version to get ready for me. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Can I hear you? speaketh not unto man, but speaketh unto who? Unto God. That gives you the first fundamental reason for praying in the Holy Ghost. Can I hear the Amplified Version very quickly? For one who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto man, but to God. Thank you. For one who speaketh in an unknown tongue. Somebody say unknown. Yes. Get comfortable with speaking unknown languages. Can I shock you, Pastor? The enemy used the church to steal the power of the church from the church. Hey, stop praying that kind of language here. No, stop you. What do you understand you are saying? You better pray and let's understand what you are saying. There's a limit to every prayer you understand. There's a limit to every prayer you understand. In fact, let me say this. It is the lowest level of prayer. Because prayers you pray by understanding are prayers made at the outer court. They are prayers based on information. Prayers based on your five senses, what you feel, what you think, what you see, what you taste, what you experience. They are prayers based on the outer court. So when you pray, Father God, I don't have a car, give me a car. That's because you know that's a need. Is that okay now? But you see, there's a dimension of prayer that you can log on into whereby you begin to pray, not just when you begin to pray in that dimension, you begin to pray directly into the heart of God. So when we pray in tongues, number one, we have supernatural access into the very heart of God. We pray in tongues to have supernatural access directly into the very heart of God. Listen to what the Bible says. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, speaketh not unto men. Speaketh not unto men. So please, when I'm praying in tongues, don't tell me to shut up because I am here and you want me to pray in a language that is not, I'm not speaking to you. When I want to pray in tongues, I'm praying directly to the heart of God. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? Now, I've noticed something about Nigerians, particularly when Nigerians are abroad, you know, and then, for instance, I'm a Yoruba person now, my wife, presumably is a Yoruba person. And then, you know, we are before a white man and, you know, all of us speak English, but there is something we can use to cut off the white man. Am I a poker here? The white man understand English. I understand English. He speaks English. I speak English. But you see, if I want to cut him off, then I'll just say to my wife, Titimalo, Titimalo, you know, and he said, well, what's that? And I said, oh, well, I just said, you know, I just said, that's okay. Just try to say something to her. And then you see, what I said to her in my language connects directly to her heart without the involvement of the white man. You see, the devil is like the white man who understands English, understands prayers that are made in the sense realm. You see, that's a way to cut him off. Am I talking to somebody here? Let me tell you why, Pastor. Calm down. Don't get too much before yourself. Calm down. Relax. Because you never know why I'm saying there's a way to cut him off. How do you know he doesn't understand tongues? How do you know the devil doesn't understand tongues? How do you know now? You're almost shouting now. But how do you know the devil doesn't understand tongues? Huh? Thank you, sir. You see, when the Lord was filling me with the Holy Ghost, he didn't fill him with the Holy Ghost. Did you get what I'm just saying right now, Pastor? When the Lord was filling me with the Holy Ghost, he didn't fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's easier because you see, Satan has command of languages. Do you understand that? Satan has command of all the languages in the world. But there is one language that leaves him stupefied. So we can cut him off. If you want to cut him off from your family, you and your wife begin to pray in the prayer language. Look at your wife and just say, and she look at you, cut him off. Cut him off. And I know where the problem is now. The problem is that we want to be sensible. We want to be sensible. We want to make sense. I'm thanking God because we're seeing those days coming back again. Man of God, I used to remember my first pastor is going to be here very soon. You know, I used to remember those days, man of God, when we wake up in the morning and then we're going to classroom. We see ourselves in the morning. He can come around, man of God. But we were greeting each other in tongues. Am I talking to somebody here? Do you understand what I'm saying at all? I'm looking forward to that day where you come. I'm not saying we're playing with it. I'm saying that this is coming from our spirit. I just want to say good morning, but this good morning is not coming from my mind. This good morning is not coming from the outer court. This good morning is coming from the Holy of Holies. I just look at you and some people are like, what's going on there? What did they just say right now? It doesn't have to make sense to you. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody. It's not my business and I don't owe you an apology. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, speaketh not unto men. So stop thinking about what people are thinking about when you are speaking with tongues. It's none of your business. You are not speaking to make sense to anybody. In fact, your mind is not meant to understand what you are saying. There's a level of power the church is missing because we're not praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Speaketh not. So what is the first benefit of praying in the Holy Ghost? It gives us what? Supernatural what? Access to where? To the very heart of God. No interference. Hey, let me say this. I don't know about you, but you know, I've discovered that severally in my Christian life. I kneel down to pray. And as our Father God, I want to thank you for this morning. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you. And I have gone. I know it doesn't happen to all of you because you are all spiritual people. I thank God for your lives. Thank God for the anointing of prayer that is resting on you. And Pastor, you know, I will have gone. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you. And Lord, thank you, Lord. And the Father God Almighty. So, the Lord Father, in between, thank you. I didn't know what happened. Sometimes, I'm saying, Father God, I want to pray for our church. As I'm praying for our church, Father God Almighty, then I just remember Deacon Johnson. And I remember the suit he was putting on that day. Lord, Father, there's the suit. I didn't even buy the suit. Lord, as I was praying, I was saying, I didn't know it's common to all men. I know that I see a lot of people in our church who are very anointed, very prayerful people. In fact, they're always in the spirit every time. So it bothers me when I kneel and say, God, what kind of nonsense is this? I knelt down to pray, but I was traveling. I knelt down to pray and I saw myself in Lagos, walking by the beach. Knelt down to pray and I found myself in the office trying to open my files. I knelt down to pray and I saw myself counseling people that don't even need counseling. How do I deal with this kind of problem? And the Lord said, bypass. In sound system, there's something called bypass. And the Lord said to me, son, bypass. And I said, Lord, what do you mean bypass? He said, bypass your mind. Create a loop. Bypass, connect to me directly. Cut off the mind. Cut off the mind. Cut off the mind. Let it go from your spirit to my spirit. Let it go from your spirit to my spirit. Let it go from your spirit to my spirit. Let it go from your spirit to my spirit. Number two. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, what happens? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For no man understandeth him. How be it in the spirit? Hi, I like this. How be it in the spirit? He speaketh what? Mysteries. Somebody say mysteries. Do I have another version different from mysteries? Any other version? If you read the Moffat's translation, it said, how be it in the spirit? He speaketh it. In fact, I like the version. He talks divine secrets. Somebody said divine secrets. Hey, wait a minute. You know what Paul the Apostle said? Paul the Apostle said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Am I correct? Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And then no wonder Paul the Apostle said, That was why this mystery of the gospel was committed to me. Did you get that now? Can I say it one more time? Mysteries are secrets. Now the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to God. The secret things belong to God. But should they stay with God? No. Should those secret things about your life, should they remain with God? Should the secret things concerning why you're going through what you're going through, should they remain with God? Those secret things belong to God. But then there are those who can find it out. How do we find it out? The Bible says, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh divine secrets. He speaketh divine secrets. You speak mysteries in the spirit realm. So what happens when I begin to speak in tongues? I have supernatural access into divine secrets. So I begin to know things without finding out about them. I want to say that one more time. When you begin to pray in tongues, you begin to get to know things about people without finding out about them. Hey, can you just try something? Single brother, single sister, you want to pray. Everything about the lady is correct. She looks good. She looks cute. She's born again. She's speaking in tongues. She's okay. Hey, why don't you just spend the next 20, 30 minutes and just keep saying, Father, Candy. Listen, now you will find out divine secrets, secrets that are left to God concerning that person. Now listen, the Bible says that, the Bible says deep calleth unto deep. Am I talking to somebody here now? So, and your deep is your spirit, man, and he calleth to the deep of God. Who is it that knoweth the things of God, save that the spirit of God? Am I talking to somebody here? And he revealeth it over to the spirit of man. I always say something to my pastors, my relationship with my people. I'm very practical about this. I love everybody. I'm called to pastor. So by virtue of my calling, it's a responsibility for me to just love everybody. But it's not a compulsory thing for me to partner with everybody. Is that okay? Partnership is my choice. Loving everybody is a command. Is that okay? Jesus, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. But when it came to time to partner, he partnered with just a 12. Fishermen. There were Pharisees, lawyers of the law, zealots, and Sadducees. Jesus, in fact, Jesus will call his disciples and say, beware of those people. Meaning that partnership is a matter of choice. And don't just choose your partners based on what they know, what they can do, where they are coming from. Choose them based on spirit connection. Find people out in the spirit. Find people out. And once you find them out, you can just be smiling with them because you've already known who they are. The Bible says Jesus did not commit himself unto men because he knoweth who they are. He knows them. But he was smiling with them, but he knows them. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says Jesus knew that Judas was a thief, but he gave him the purse. He knew he was a thief. I said, take the purse. Be in charge of our finances. You can find people out in the spirit. And yet be shaking hands with them. How are you? God bless you. How's church? You enjoy church today? But in the spirit, you know who this person is. You don't commit yourself to such. That's what you don't do. You're friendly with them, but you don't commit yourself to them. So that's what most of us have hurt ourselves in the past. We committed ourselves to people we should have found out. Oh, and I need to move on because of time very quickly. So we have supernatural access into the divine secrets of God. How many of us want to find out what God knows about you? How many of us want to find out what God knows concerning what you're going through right now? How many of us want to find out what God knows concerning what is going on around you? How many of us? Now the Bible says, he that prayeth in unknown tongues, the Bible says, prayeth into divine secrets. Do you understand that? You have access into the secrets of the Almighty God. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He talks divine secrets. Talks divine secrets. Stop going around and think that all that there is to life is what you read in the newspaper. There's more to life than what they told you in the village. There's more to life than what your friends told you. There's more to life than what the friends of your loved one told you about the person. There's more to human beings than what meets the eye. You can find out from God. Graham Cook, one of the men I respect so very much in the prophetic ministry, Graham Cook, was talking about how that there's this particular lady in their church, you know, every time, whenever he's a pastor, but then he was single, so he was planning to get married. Pray the Lord delivers us from all these kind of things. Amen. So he was planning to get married, and here was this particular lady, and you know, if you talk about prayer, it's every time he's coming to church, this lady is in deep agony, traveling, praying, and all of that. And then he said, gradually began to say, Lord, I think this is going to be the right person for me to marry so that I can stabilize my ministry. You understand that? Graham Cook. So he was planning actually to propose to her one day. One day he came to church again and saw this lady traveling in the Holy Ghost, praying, Naka, oh Lord, Father, help. Man, you know, I was like, wow. And I, Lord, I told you, this kind of lady I like to marry. And then suddenly the Lord just said to him, he said, go and tell her she's a bad girl and that she should repent. I said, no, sorry. What kind of voice is that? I rebuke you. Come on, what kind of voice is that? This is our church prayer warrior. This is the most anointed lady in our church. And the Lord said, I said, she's a bad girl, go rebuke her. Anyway, he gathered courage and went to meet the lady and said, sorry, almost trembling. He said, well, the Lord said, it was the Lord that said I should, just, so it's not my fault. The Lord said I should tell you that you're a bad girl, and the Lord said you should repent. I'm sorry, it's not what I like to say. And the lady broke down and began to cry. She happened again to be a very wealthy lady in the church. And the lady said, sorry, sir, that's the very truth. She said, sir, every time you see me praying here, I'm not praying because I'm an intercessor. I'm trying to break myself free from the burden of guilt. Because I carry condemnation everywhere I go. So I'm trying to unburden myself from the condemnation and guilt that I carry. And he said, why are you saying that? She said, every time I travel on business assignment, she said, I've slept with over 250 men, the ones I can count. And he said, all right, thank you very much. He said, well, the Lord will forgive you right now. And he led out to the Lord, and then led out to continue serving the Lord while he goes his own way. Come on. Am I talking to somebody here? You can find out people. Find them out. Find people out. Sometimes there are, you know, you think about the Father. The Bible said there was some lady who was following Paul. When my time is over, just let me know. There was a lady who was following Paul, the apostle, and I was shunned here. She was following them. So that's what they call like discipleship. She was following them. You know, when you have a lady who is following you, when you have a man who is following your ministry, you know, you're so excited about that. But may God open your eyes to find out what you are not seeing following the person following you. Bible says she kept on following them. And the Bible says she kept on publicizing them. This be the man of God who show us the way of salvation. She doesn't know salvation, but she's testifying about them. Won't you call that lady immediately and put her in charge of public relations? And remove the Kinkayode from there. Because he's not shouting. The Bible says this lady goes about shouting. The king doesn't shout. Touch anybody, say, find out. How many of us have been wounded by not finding out before? Everybody, including me. Bad one. I've really been over wounded. Thank God, because he's the one that heals our broken heart. Because some of us will have no heart again, because the heart will have been. Come on. Thank God for the communion. There's healing in the house tonight. As you fellowship with this communion today, you enter into the realm of the supernatural. Strength to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost like never before is what is coming on you. That's why this is a good teaching to come at a time when we're taking the communion. Because many of us know it is good to do it, but we don't have strength to do it. Paul was going. And as he was going, the Bible said, this lady, the Bible said she kept on following them every day, publicizing them. These are the men of God. Listen to me, the only man of God that God has raised up in this city is Reverend Samuel. Ah, this is a man of God that God is going to use for this. When you have a lady like that, or a man like that, but the Bible said Paul kept on going. First few days, Paul thought it was okay. But Paul, one day was coming, and the Bible says, and he was grieved in his spirit. In where, sir? It was grief where? It was grief where? His mind accommodated it, but his spirit will not accept it. And he turned to the girl and commanded the spirit that was in her to come out. And the Bible then made us understand that she had the spirit of divination. Now, the spirit of divination is the spirit of Python. They call it the hissing spirit. That's the spirit that takes over the tongues of people and cause them to speak sweet words that have the way of getting you. And then it takes you far before you realize. That was the kind of spirit that the lady in Proverbs chapter 6 used to speak to the young man that was on his way somewhere. And she detoured him and brought him back to the upper room until he died. Come on. I think I'll close with this. The third one. Continue next week. Supernatural access to personal edification is one I like. Supernatural access to personal edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. Hi. David. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. But he that prophesy edifies the church. How many people flow in the prophetic here? How many of you sense that there's a prophetic call of God on your life? How many of you? Amen. Raise your hands now. Don't be ashamed. You sense there's a prophetic. That's why you're in a church like this, because there's a prophetic mantle on the church. So it always attracts people that have that kind of grace. So it's not strange. Don't be afraid. I'm about to share something with you that the Lord just shared with me. Is that okay? Watch this. He that prophesied, if you can, listen. He that prophesied edifieth the church. But he that speaketh in unknown tongue edified himself. So the greatest tragedy of the church is that we have so many people prophesying, edifying the church, and they are not edified. Hey, do you know what the word edify means? Huh? Do what, sir? To build up. So he that prophesies, every time Pastor Isaiah comes here and begins to prophesy, there's somebody here, the Lord said this. Every time since I saw so rise up and say, the Lord said I should tell you this. What are you doing, sir? You're building up the church, but how about you? Are you built up? And you see, outflow must be balanced by inflow. If you don't want to dry up, you must learn to make sure that as much as you give out, you also take in. It must not be breathing out without breathing in. Build up yourself. Build up yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost. And after you prayed in the Holy Ghost and you built up yourself, then you can now come to fellowship and build up the church. Am I talking to somebody here? Build up yourself, woman of God. Build up yourself. Stop giving out to people and you are running dry. Let me close with this. In Jude verse 20. For ye beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, on your most holy faith. On your most holy faith. What we were taught was that building up yourself in your most holy faith. But it's not in your most holy faith. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Meaning that we know you already have a holy faith. But you need to build something on top of your holy faith. And if you need to be built upon your holy faith, he said there's a way to do it. It said praying in the Holy Ghost. It is a pray in the Holy Ghost. Say praying in the Holy Ghost. Present, continuous tense. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do I get built up, sir? How do I get edified? How do I grow on my holy faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, edifieth himself. And the word edified there is a word, build up himself. Build up herself. The reason why you've been born again for a long time, but you've not yet been built up, is because, check it out, you've not been praying in the Holy Ghost.
Pastor, can you imagine? Pastor, I've been born again for almost 20 years. So, but I can't imagine. Look at me. I'm not growing. I'm not spiritually. I'm not matured. I don't know why. The same things I know 20 years ago, same thing I know now. Look at people that just gave their life to Christ yesterday. Look at the way they are moving in the things of God. Look at the way they are growing. Hey, come down. The level playing field is open to all. The Bible said, dearly beloved, build up yourself. Nobody's going to build you up. You've got to build up yourself. If you want to be built up, the Bible said, you have to do it. And how do you do it? The Bible said, praying in the Holy Ghost. And what does that mean? You open your mouth. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what does it mean to pray in tongues? You pray by the utterance of the Spirit. You pray by the utterance that the Spirit gives to you. What does that mean? As the Holy Ghost gives you utterance, you open your mouth and begin to speak. Can I tell you this, child of God? Your level of revelation can rise if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Your level of faith can rise if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Your level of confidence in God will rise if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll begin to see more visions if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll begin to experience visions and trance. You can begin to know the things that God wants you to know if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You can't continue in darkness if you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? It's a building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. And he that speaketh in a known tongue and defied himself, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. The Bible says he speaketh not unto men, but he speaketh unto God. It's time for you and I to begin to speak in such a manner whereby the enemy is left stupefied, whereby witches and wizards are confused, whereby the forces of darkness are stupefied. We need to come to the level of praying whereby you begin to pray. My brother, in the house of, do you know what we call joy? Have you ever experienced true joy? Joy in the midst of storm, peace in the midst of storm, rest in the midst of unrest around the world. If you want to experience such a life, the Bible said, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, open your mouth and lend your tongue to the frequency of God and begin to speak what nobody else understands. You don't have to make sense. God has not called you to make sense. God has called you to speak the language of angels. God has called you to speak the language of God. Am I talking to somebody here? Somebody was once asked and he said, what language does God speak? And then the man answered and said, God speak God. Am I talking to somebody here? And if you want to learn to speak God, then speak God. And how can you speak God? By the utterance that the Holy Ghost gives to you. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? The time has come for anyone here who is ready to go to the next level spiritually, to mature in the things of God. How is it that you are still being taught the word of God after 10 years of being in the house of God? You don't have a convert. You don't have a disciple. There's nobody you are pouring into. If we say, show us your child in the Lord, you have nobody because you are not yet built up in the Lord. The time must, oh God, can I say this now? The time has come when this church cannot afford to have only one Pastor Isaiah opening the mystery of the word of God. The church cannot afford to have only one Pastor Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is open to all. This Bible is written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says holy men of God, they wrote the scripture as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Meaning the scripture is the breathing forth of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost. So if I want to know the mysteries, the secrets in this book, how do I get to find out? How do I open the Bible and make sure the Bible is open to me? Because the Bible said these people up till now, they are reading the Bible with a veil. A veil. And many of us here are still reading the Bible with a veil. How do I get to that point where I begin to read my Bible with the veil removed? The Bible said praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit of the one who wrote the word. And as I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, he begins to say, son, the reason why I made Moses to say these things, this is it. Son, the reason why I made Paul to write this one, this is it. You see, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray by the Holy Ghost and begin to study the word by the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and reading your Bible, praying in tongues and opening the pages of scriptures, you have access into revelations. The Bible says of Paul, it said, the things that I teach, he said, no man taught me. The things that I teach, he said, no man taught me. He said, but the Holy Spirit of God, he came, visited me, and began to teach me these things. Oh Lord, how I invite quite a number of people here to this realm that I'm talking about here. This is the realm of sweet Christianity. This is what made a lot of us. This is what built a lot. This is what will still build a lot of us. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
praying, going beyond the realm of information, going beyond the realm of illumination in the inner court, and getting into the Holy of Holies where you pray by revelation. As you pray in the name of Jesus, say, Father, I come to pray concerning faith, and I begin to pray in tongues concerning faith, and the Lord begins to teach you things concerning faith that even your pastor has never taught you. The Lord begins to teach you concerning power like nobody has ever taught you. The Lord begins to teach you concerning signs and wonders like nobody has ever taught you. Can somebody say, Lord, open my spirit here? Can you say it one more time? Say, Lord, open my spirit. I'd like you to rise on your feet, everyone, if you can. And let's open our mouths right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The time has come for fear to go. The time has come for unbelief to go. The time has come for courage to be born. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, Father, I come right now and I release my tongue to you. I release my tongue to you. I release my tongue to you. No more depression. No more worry. Yes. Yeah. The Bible said, building up yourself. Building up. Not breaking down. Not breaking down. No depression. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Open your mouth. Open. Fear will go. Depression will vanish. Unbelief will go. Sickness will vanish. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll begin to receive instructions. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.